Welcome to Speak. I'm Joy Taylor. Emmanuel Acho is off today, and we have a show for you. If the pre-show meeting was any indication, we're going to have a good time today. Fox NFL analyst TJ Hushmanzada. Bucky Brooks is with us today. What's up, Bucky?
What's up?
Happy to have you here. And Eagles all-time leading rusher, Shady McCoy.
Thanks, Joy. How you doing today, y'all?
Oh, two times.
Bucky's acclimated.
Holy smokes.
Sometimes the swag just happens. You know, swag just happens sometimes.
Let's get started in Denver. Russell Wilson's first season with the Broncos was a disaster. But now Sean Payton is his head coach. It might not be all positive just yet, though. A report says some people have expressed lingering concerns about Wilson's ability to play within the structure of the offense. Shady, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but what are your expectations for Russell Wilson this season?
Well, I think he's with a super offensive guru, you know, with Sean Payton. So I expect him to be a lot better than he was last year. I needed 4,000 yards. I truly need that, right? I need 4,000 yards. I need to see some... The old Russ. I don't need him to be cooking as much, but show me something, though, because last year was so bad that it might have cost him his jacket, right? It might have cost him his jacket. So I need to see a more efficient Russ, and I need to see about 7 to 8 wins. Last year they had, what, 5 or 4?
He had 4. They had 5.
Okay, even better. I need to see 8 wins. Double your wins. And then I think you grow on that. I don't see a lot of talent on the offensive side with the Broncos, and then they had some injuries that just happened. And then some guys coming back from injury this year. So I just need to see 4,000 yards. I see eight games, 8 wins. You know, and then I'll think that Russ is kind of getting back. It's a hard division, too. AFC's hard, and that division is super hard.
It is. I would say Russ needs to get back to who he was, but what version of who he was? Because he hasn't thrown for over 4,000 yards since the 2020 season. So what worries me about the situation is he's kind of trending down statistically.
Yeah.
And that was back when he was still in Seattle. So right. The turnaround is going to have to be dramatic. If he doubles his wins, I'm with you. To me, that's a success because they were so bad last year. I really just need Russ to look functional. I need him to look like a veteran.
Right.
I need to look like he's in control. There were times last year where it didn't even look like he knew how to play NFL football. We couldn't believe our eyes watching some of those games. It was staggering. Like, what? Is somebody, is a pod person? Like, this can't be the same Russell Wilson looking this badly. So I understand a bit of concern of him not fitting into the offense right away, kind of stirring some more anxieties. Because if he was really back to what he was before, you would think this would be slightly more seamless. But, Bucky, what are your expectations for Russell Wilson?
I'm really worried about Russell. I'm worried about Russell Wilson coming back. I'm worried about him being a fit in this offense. I just don't like how it could fit. Because when I think about Sean Payton, his best success with Drew Brees, it was timing, rhythm, ball comes out.
Yeah.
Drew Brees was that kind of quarterback. Russell Wilson is not that kind of quarterback. So it kind of reminds me of the Lakers when they had Russell Westbrook, and they brought Russell Westbrook in, and Russell Westbrook is the triple-double machine, but we want him to come out here and bring it up and pass and screen away, and everyone is mad at Russ. I feel like in Denver, they could misplace him and miscast him and make him like a Russell Westbrook. Then everyone in Denver ends up hating.
TJ?
Expectations. When Sean Payton came out and said what he said about Nathaniel Hackett last week, I said, damn, Russ looks real good in practice. For you to come out here and put this pressure on him, he must look real good. And then they follow it up now. Oh, there's some things he's working through, just the reads and offense and making sure he understands what we're doing. And I'm not so sure that Russ can ever be what he was in Seattle. You got to give Pete Carroll his credit. He put an offense around him. We're going to play good defense. We're going to run the ball. We're going to take shots down the field. That's what Russell is. Russell Wilson is not a guy that's going to drop back, like Bucky said, and throw with anticipation and timing. That's not who he is. But that's what Sean Payton's offense is. Mm-hmm. Now, how do they merge the way Russell Wilson plays and how Sean Payton wants to call a game? Can they merge those two? I don't know if Russell can do that at this point in his career.
Well, offensively, how would they do that? Because we know what Sean Payton's offense is and how it works. And we very much know what Russell Wilson is.
Everybody
and
said,
how he was successful. So they clearly went and got Sean Payton. And part of that was because they wanted to have success with Russell Wilson. So if they're not a match, where do they meet in the middle? Like, who budges there?
Last year when Russ was struggling, everybody was saying, oh, he needs to get out of the pocket. He needs to improvise. He needs to use his legs. That's not Sean Payton's offense.
Mm-mm.
Now, a good coach is going to implement what your players do best. I'm sure they'll sprinkle some of that in. But that can't be the entirety of your offense. So we're just going to get out the pocket and use our legs.
But are Russ's legs what they once were?
Mm-mm. I mean, they'll be good enough to get out the pocket, but you can't play that way all the time. You have to be able to throw from the pocket with anticipation. And if he can't do that, it's going to be a problem. They will win more games because Sean Payton is that good.
You know what? I actually disagree, right? I know that that's not his traditional offense, Russell playing under Sean Payton, right? Mm-hmm. Sean likes timing, like you talked about. Mm-hmm. But when I went to the Chiefs in 2019, I have a great relationship with Andy Reid, right? And when I went there, I was asking about Patrick Mahomes. He had a great year before, so I'm asking about him. And he said, you know what I did? Traditionally, you know, he likes that West Coast offense. He said, what I did was I went back to what he did great with Texas Tech, right, in college. He said, now, it's a lot different from what he likes, but whatever he did great in college, he took some of that and mixed it with the offense he already has. So that way, we both are comfortable. I'm giving you what you're used to, what you like, what you do best. You always want your player to do what does mm-hmm. best for him. Take some of that and then take what I like. And I think you can do that. I think Sean Payton is that type of coach.
Sean Payton's going to do that, but can Russ adjust to what Payton likes?
You're getting both. And then another thing is, if let's say he shows that he's struggling with the way that Sean Payton wants his offense ran, right? But then he shows on the other side how well he's doing with some things he has. What do you have to do? You have to lean more to that.
Coach has to.
You want to win.
Yeah, no, so, and he talked about, Sean Payton talked about that before he even got a job. He looked at Russ and said, like, the first thing you have to do is play the hits. What does he do well? How can we build around his strengths and kind of build out the offense from that? The key will be, what are Russell Wilson's strengths right now? We've sat up here and talked about. Yeah. He doesn't throw with timing and rhythm. You alluded to his legs not being what they once were. He slimmed down, but you know, when you slim down, you're trying to get that last little flicker of athleticism
out.
That
is true, right?
And so
if
he can't move around and he's not a time and rhythm quarterback, I don't know how Sean Payton can build this offense around him. It's going to have to be the running game and other stuff to match.
And one thing, I want to see more RPOs. Right? Because, like I think the run option, if you get back to a guy like Russ, he can either run it or give it to the running back or throw it. It makes it so much easier. With the Chiefs, when I was with there, we did that with Patrick Mahomes because, okay, you're stealing. You're stealing yards. We get a five-yard out route, right? The corner's off. It's a run play, but we throw a quick yard, five-yard out to our receiver. And they can potentially bring that to 5 to 10 to 12 yards. So those are easy ways to gain confidence, to steal yards, to build an offense.
The difference is also when you bring up the Chiefs, Andy Reid, and Mahomes, Mahomes is a young quarterback. And so you don't have tendencies to break with a young quarterback. Russell Wilson has been in the league a while, so he's
a good point,
you get
too.
Set in your ways. And so to try to break those tendencies, that's going to be hard for Russell.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a huge difference.
Who has more pressure in this situation? They're both obviously have massive profiles. Yeah. They've both been paid. They both have high expectations, but one of them has more pressure than the other. In my opinion, it's Russ.
Right.
Because Sean Payton is a made man to me. We've seen him go in and take the Saints from an organization where fans would show up with garbage bags on their heads to being an organization that we still respect, even though he's no longer there.
Right.
Because of the culture that he built there. So, and we've seen him do it with all kinds of different quarterbacks. We've seen him win games with every different level of talent.
Yeah, sure.
So if it doesn't work this year, and Russ is the reason why it looks like it's not working, to me, it's going to fall more on Russ than on Sean Payton. But Sean has set the standards very high for the coaching there. Who do you think has more pressure, Shady?
I'm going to go with Russ. I think we've seen Russ play at his worst. And we're like, everybody at this table is like, okay, we can't see that again.
Right.
We gave you all this money. We gave you everything you wanted. Parking spots. I mean, what? He had rooms.
Assistant.
Everything you want. You got everything you want, right?
Yeah.
Sierra got her own makeup room. Whatever you need, we got it. So we gave that and you didn't deliver. So now this year, we bring in an offensive guru. Think about this. When they was looking for a head coach, they looked for an offensive guy. How can we fix our big investment? Mm-hmm. So you bring in Sean Payton, and I think that Sean has to get his whole, I guess, the chemistry right. He has to get his team what he wants.
Right.
So it's going to take some time, a year or two. But Russ, you've been there, and you're supposed to be a Hall of Famer. So I put all the pressure on him.
It's all on him. We talked about it. You talked about he may have tricked off his gold jacket. He may have. Yeah. Like, we're talking about a guy who was in position to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. He had an interception of Malcolm Butler that prevented him from getting his second Super
That's
Bowl
true.
Win.
Yeah, right.
And look, it's all gone downhill since. Yes, he's had some individual success. But when you get let go, and everyone expected the Seattle Seahawks to fall apart, and they play better with Geno Smith, now everyone is looking at Russell sideways. And so he has to bounce back, because if he doesn't bounce back, all those little rumors and murmurs we heard about the defense not liking Russ in the offense,
Now all the credit for the Super Bowls goes to the defense, and Russ doesn't get any of those accolades.
All of it is on Russell Wilson. I mean, all of it. 2006, Sean Payton takes over a three-win Saint team.
That is true.
They win 10 games and win the division.
Yep.
And Sean Payton, nobody's going to blame Sean Payton if they don't lose because of what, if they don't win because of what happened last year. Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill. Sean Payton went 17-5 with those guys as quarterback. We would all say Russell Wilson is better than him.
Yeah.
He went 17-5 with those guys as his quarterback. So if Russ can't do better than that, it's all on Russ because, oh, he had Drew Brees. This is why he's winning. All right. How about this 22-game sample then without him?
Yeah.
And all of those quarterbacks are different styles, too.
Yeah.
So it's not
different
like he
players.
Was just winning with the same type of player and just, you know, carrying that offense over. And all of those players have not looked the same without him.
And to what Shady said earlier, this also, when you say different styles, Sean Payton has shown.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be. I can win different ways.
Right.
And so if that's what Russell does best, Sean Payton will do it because.
You're going to find out, yeah.
Taysom Hill, Bridgewater, and Jameis Winston, all three of them are different type of quarterbacks, and he won with them. And so that means he changed up what he liked to what they like.
Yeah.
I also think when it comes to coaches, you mentioned like a year or two. To me, a real full coaching job, unless it's a disaster like it was with Nathaniel Hackett, takes about 3 years to evaluate.
Yeah.
You need a couple drafts. You need to be able to develop young players. You need to be able to implement your system. People feel comfortable in your system. And then you can really see what you're doing as a head coach. Russell Wilson doesn't have that much time. And if he really is declining, then it's going to trend even worse if we're seeing that, okay, they made all these changes. Obviously, the Denver Broncos aren't as talented as maybe we thought that they were when Russ got there. And part of that might be because they had to give up a lot to get Russ there. But the clock is ticking for Russ in a way that it's not ticking for Sean Payton, which adds extra pressure on him.
Can we ask the scout a question? Bucky Brooks,
Scout, Bucky Brooks.
KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick look like they're going. Tim Patrick's done for the season, torn Achilles. KJ Hamler, something with his heart. Does that affect what they want to do?
Well, I mean, I think it certainly affected because those were two guys that they were counting on, particularly Tim Patrick, because there was a synergy between him and Russ, and everybody talked about it. But I felt like Sean Payton was going to run the football anyway.
Yeah.
Javonte Williams comes back. They try to upgrade the offensive line. The reason why they want to run the ball, take some of that pressure off of Russ.
Absolutely.
Everyone talks about him cooking, but we're going to give him the little toaster oven. We're not going to give him the big old oven.
Right.
So that's why we're going to run the football.
Easy bake, huh?
But Sean Payton, he always runs the ball. And then, I think it's going to take about 2 years or so, or 2 to 3 years to get his offense. Because if you look at his scheme, he always has the same scheme. Like, he's going to have a burner in the speed. Yeah. I remember back in the day, he had Henderson.
Ted Ginn Jr.
He always has them. Meacham, what's his name?
Robert Meacham.
Okay, and then he has a big body. Michael Thomas, Marcus Colston. Mm-hmm. He always has them goose, and he has a great tight end, big size tight end. Two running back system. Like, Sean Payton has his own type of system. I think it's going to take 2 years to get that.
To get the players in there.
Yeah, get the players he wants.
Speaking of running the ball, Ezekiel Elliott is still looking for a team to play for this season. But should he want a Cowboys reunion? That's next on Speak. And don't forget, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM.
I would say Ezekiel Philly, but it's complicated. Woo.
Greetings, soccer fans. Are you ready for the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup? Because we are. That's right. Australia and New Zealand, look out. State of the Union is coming.
Off the post and in!
And we'll be going above and beyond down under. We'll have new podcast episodes every single match day. So follow Alexi Lawless's State of the Union on the Fox app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ezekiel Elliott spent 7 seasons in Dallas, but now he's a free agent. Jerry Jones hasn't closed the door, though, on a Cowboys reunion, but Mike McCarthy may have shouted a little bit saying, quote, this is the roster that we've put together. So, Bucky, Zeke, should you want a Cowboys reunion?
Oh, yeah, look, I think this is one where they both need each other. I think Zeke needs the Cowboys because it's his best opportunity for him to play because they know him. They know his strengths, his weaknesses, where he is. He has value within that locker room because the guys respect him as a leader. And then for the Cowboys, they need him before they can hand the ball off to Tony Pollard. Are we sure Tony Pollard can carry the load? Tony Pollard's a guy who is a tremendous splash player, meaning he can come in there and hit the screens, he can hit the outside zone. But can he do that heavy lifting? The one thing about Zeke Elliott does all the dirty stuff that Tony Pollard didn't want to do. Mm. Scoring short yardage, handle the pass protection, all that dirty, grimy stuff, that's what Zeke does. And, you know, if you look over the last 2 years, he had 22 touchdowns, fourth most in football. So there's a role for Zeke Elliott. So, yeah, the Cowboys need to bring Zeke home. Bring him back.
QJ?
Should Ezekiel Elliott want a Cowboys reunion? That's the only option he got. If that, like, what other option does he have? He's been a free agent for
a long time.
And nobody seems to want Ezekiel Elliott, which is odd because players that have had the type of success that he's had, you normally get an opportunity if you get released. So that makes me wonder, like, why hasn't he been given? If the Cowboys want him back, he should be willing to say, how much? I'll take league minimum. I'll take. Because if he does not play this year,
it's over.
He won't play again. And so he should want whatever he can get. The Cowboys, whoever. The U.S., he not playing in a National Football League this year if the Cowboys don't take him. Because everybody else, they had their chance.
Joy, I was blessed to have a father. He's a great father. Mm-hmm. He told me, he said, son, if you don't stand for something, you will
fall for anything.
All right. Now, when I say that.
Go ahead and fall out then.
Hold on.
Go ahead and fall
Zeke,
out.
Now, wait, Zeke, that you? We talking about Zeke Elliott. Is that right? We're talking about Zeke, number 21 for the Cowboys. He was always like that. Ohio State was a beast. He came to the Cowboys, he was a beast. When they wanted to get rid of him, right, and they talked about this, he knew it was coming. Tony Pollard was going off. They knew he was going to be the future. But Zeke did all that for the Cowboys, and you didn't have a chance to even talk about a pay cut? He brought it up. He said, they said, what are your chances of you staying on the team? How do you feel about it? He said, listen, I'll do whatever it takes to stay on this team. He talked about this. What did they do? They cut him. And now y'all want him to come back and ask and get back with the Cowboys? That's like having a relationship and, like, you love this girl and then she want to break up with you. You're like, baby, let's work it out. She didn't want to hear that. She kicked you to the curb.
And now she want to work it out?
You want to beg and come back? No, we're not doing that. Zeke has done too much for the Cowboys to go out like that, right? He made a lot of money.
So he's just going to go out then?
He's just out. I mean, he did his thing. He'll never be the same guy again. They use him. When a running back gets 300 carries over and over again like that, he's bound to lose his juice. So now it's over. It's not. He won't come back and be like this starter again. That's dead. It's over. He's 28 and don't have a job.
He'll come back in a different role if he does come back. He knows that. Rushing yards per game, scrimmage yards, and yards per carry last year. And his rushing yards per game has gone down every single year of his career because, as you mentioned, they ran him a lot. But he's also made $71 million of his career.
So you think, have no pride?
Only behind Adrian Peterson.
Where's your pride at?
At a point,
did he beat me?
Yeah,
I'm at 65, 66.
7.5 more than you ever.
You just want to play the game. You just want to play the locker room. It's fun. The game of football is fun.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you could have made all the money you want that you made, but you want to be in that locker room.
But he was also the face of the organization.
Things change. If you want to play football.
He got paid first. He got paid before the quarterback got paid.
If he's not on the team.
They regret it now.
I know, but I mean, like,
if he's not on the team this year, he's done.
He has to.
Well, yes. If Zeke's only goal is to just play in the NFL, then yes, I would agree. But if his goal is to actually contribute, to me, I would play for another team. I would want to. I'm with Shady. I would want to play for another team. Maybe I'll finish my career.
Somebody has to want you, though.
But time out, though. So let me get this straight. So the backup that was my backup is now the starter, and you want me to come back and be his backup?
No. We're going to see.
I'm just trying to figure this thing out. So you've been backing me up, right? Yeah. This whole time.
Semantics. What we do? We're just going to switch the roles. You know what I'm saying? We're just going to switch the roles. That's all.
I got pride.
We're going to switch the roles.
You ain't going for it. None. Man, no, sir. On, no dice.
Switch the roles. So now the options are to sit at home like you've been sitting and wait for the phone to ring, or you come over.
Come back.
Come on back to Val.
I'll treat you how you treat me. Great.
Because we already know. Because if I'm Zeke, I'm like this. I've seen my backup, Tony Pollard, get hurt. I've seen him limp around after that series. We don't know if he's going to be what everyone thinks he is. You've had backups that they were ready to replace you.
So hold up. He made $71 million, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now he's going to come for the league minimum. What is that, a million? What is that?
Just over a million.
Like a little something, little pocket change for him.
So you'll come sit and watch for a million. I'm sure he's at home with his investments making that. You get what I'm saying? See, y'all name everything about the money. Everybody don't play for money like that.
Wait.
His money's already been made.
I strictly said.
His money's already been made.
You're talking about for the love of the game.
It's the locker room and the fun of playing.
For the love of the game.
Listen, man, pride. Gotta have some pride.
So
gotta stand for something.
So here's the thing. You talk about him being the face of the franchise, right?
Right.
America's team. Mm-hmm. You know that. You're American. Mm-hmm. America's team. This is America's team.
Yes, it is.
It's not your team.
America's team. So he's the face of that. So no matter what we say, he is always going to be the big star, the big cheese in Dallas.
Not true.
He has an opportunity. And imagine, because you know this is their year. This is their year for the go win it.
Oh.
So now he has an opportunity to go win
like
it
that.
With America's team.
But
because you already know they owned it. You know they owned the East with Dak.
They do what?
They own the East with Dak. When Dak is available, they own the East.
Oh, I see what they did. The producer told you to say
no,
that.
No. Oh, they own the East with Dak. I'm just telling you.
I'm learning the TV thing a little bit.
No. You can't get it out.
You can't get it out.
I'm not trying to get it out, Joe. I'm just saying they own this. When they bring it back.
What?
When they bring it back, they own the East.
Okay, so, Bucky, you're saying that
he
should want to be a part of this team because this team has the potential.
When the confetti drops on America's team, you already know how Jerry's going to do it.
So, you know why I say confetti guy?
What?
I got that from Bucky.
Okay.
Confetti guy. So what you're saying is, not to pivot this whole conversation, but you think that Dak is a confetti guy?
Oh, absolutely.
Whoa.
Absolutely. Okay.
I'm going to stay on.
Absolutely.
I'm going to stay on the subject. I see what you're doing. I will say this, though, because I've backed up, right? And I've had a career like Zeke better. But we had a similar career. And when I had to back players up, there's some players I thought I was better than. And I would go to the coach, hey, coach, like.
Pride.
You watch when I. No. You watch when I watch. You said, I can't do that. But there was the other part of me that, okay, he's younger. He's for the future. Cool. I know what it was. And I could take that mentally and in my heart, right, and still be a coach to the younger players, right, be that not a distraction, help my teammates out. But the difference was it wasn't in Philadelphia when it's the all-time leading rusher, LeSean McCoy. It's not that. It's with the Bucks. You get what I'm saying? It's like. I'm part of a new team. So if I see Zeke go to the Jets or he goes to the Bucks, wherever it is.
Or the Patriots, whatever they brought him in.
Or the Patriots,
you
right?
You can swallow your pride to somebody else.
I can see that because it fits the role. He's older, he's not the same running back. You know, he's on a new team. But Ben, you was the face of the Cowboys?
His boy.
Yeah, serious?
If you want to just have a face in the National Football League, you're going to do it or you're not.
Well,
that's it. You said it.
The NFL, 28
years old.
The NFL, they like guys like you guys.
No.
Like, what are you saying?
You know why? You making all this money. He got all these demands, whatever Zeke says, goals, right? And as soon as he drops, and his talent's not the same, they do this. We'll come play for us for pennies, for crumbs.
It's not even
and that. They beat you down like that. Now they take your whole pride. They probably gone.
Hey.
You see what I'm saying?
How long has
not
he been?
Me.
When did he get released?
Not me.
When did he get released?
Long time.
Nobody has signed him.
Catch me
so
on
at
speak.
This point, he going to be at home watching the game. Let's see what
speak. More running back talk on Speak. Coming up, former All-Pro Le'Veon Bell thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to take the Jets to the next level. But are they being hyped up too much?
Oh, man.
That's on, next man. On Speak.
We're talking about America's team.
Can't do it, Shady.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here, and I am so happy to announce my new interview series, The Joel Klatt Show Big Noon Conversations. Every Monday, we will bring you a candid conversation with the most influential voices in college football. From Colorado's Coach Prime to Coach Saban down in Tuscaloosa, we sit down and discuss all things college football. Download The Joel Klatt Show Big Noon Conversations wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to the new Joel Klatt Show YouTube channel.
The Jets were rewarded with four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers this offseason, but that reward also comes with big, big expectations. Former Jet Le'Veon Bell says he thinks Rodgers will take his team over the next hill, adding quotes, "I'm looking forward to seeing what the Jets do." There is a lot of hype on the Jets. We've talked about the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, I feel like, every day for the past 2 years. Is there too much hype on the Jets this season, TJ?
Ah, oh, absolutely. But it's warranted.
Mm.
The Jets have, when you have Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks and personalities of the last 10, 15 years, you're going to get the hype. You're on Hard Knocks, and then you take a $35 million pay cut. It's like, wow, what's going on in New York that wasn't going on in Green Bay? But they're getting all this hype because they have a good, almost made the playoffs last year, and many would say, who was the quarterback? Zach Wilson, Mike White, Flack, who was
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy. They didn't have a guy under center that remotely helped them in many's eyes. It was pretty much the defense. And so now you get Aaron Rodgers, your best players, all young guys, Sauce Gardner young, Quinnen Williams young, Breece Hall young, Garrett Wilson young. You have a young team. So, yeah, way too much hype. But they've earned it. They've earned it from a sense of the players that they have. Not on the field. I believe this season they will show that they've earned it. But when you have these personalities, it's good for the game.
Bucky?
This guy over here and this Aaron Rodgers stuff, man.
Aaron Rodgers is okay, so cold.
So it's too much hype.
He's a four-time. It's absolutely too much hype. Absolutely too much hype. The New York Jets being hyped up. We got a 40-year quarterback who has four MVPs, but... Okay, so we talk about the quarterback being the most important position. Mm-hmm. Everyone, we use Tom Brady as the bar, the barometer. I saw the Green Bay Packers, who have the number one seed a couple times. Mm-hmm. They didn't make the Super Bowl. I've only seen one Super Bowl appearance from Aaron Rodgers. So I'm supposed to believe that he is all of this in a bag of chips. And we can't go to the Super Bowl in Green Bay. So now we're going to go to the Jets. And the Jets barely make the playoffs. I think they've only been to the playoffs maybe 12 times in their franchise history. And I'm supposed to be all in on 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming over and leading the Jets to high. It's too much hype. Too much hype. And I don't know if anybody watched the tape. He didn't play great last year.
I didn't play great.
He didn't play great. Yeah. So at 40 years old, he's going to play better.
He's unhappy. He was unhappy.
Oh, my God.
Happiness matters.
It's not too much hype. I mean, this is what you get. This is football. It's a storyline. Sports is about storylines. You take a Hall of Fame quarterback from Green Bay, so much success, right? He goes to New York. I mean, the media hub of the world, right? You put him with a solid, great defense, top five last year, despite what you think. You have young.
Last the year before.
You have young talent around you on defense and offense, correct? You have a solid running game. He moves some money to get some players. That's a storyline. This is Aaron Rodgers we're talking about. So when they made that trade, that's the only thing we're going to talk about. So I love the hype. I love the hype. And I think that you're wrong about him being a great player for the Jets. He's got to be solid. He don't have to be the MVP that we remember. He don't have to be that.
Top five defense. You know that, right?
All he has to do is just be efficient, right? Mm-hmm. Control the game and be Aaron Rodgers. He don't have to be super, super great. So, we don't need that.
We don't need
48 and 5. We don't need that no more.
We just need a game manager. We just need Aaron Rodgers to be a game manager.
He's a different game manager.
I need him to be Mike White plus. That's what we're saying?
No. If they had a game manager last year, they're in the playoffs.
I feel like that's...
Mike White
that's
plus.
That's a little...
That's what we're saying. He just needs to be Mike White plus.
Here's the thing. It is probably too much hype. Probably. But if it ends up being enough hype and they're awesome, how fun is that?
Yeah.
Super fun. And if it ends up being a disaster, we have lots to talk about. And everyone's going to dunk on the Jets, which they've done for many years. And everyone's going to pile on Aaron Rodgers. So I'm okay with the hype of it because, to your point, it's warranted. You're not going to move a quarterback the caliber of Aaron Rodgers and there not be hype.
Right.
But the difference is I have a lot of questions about the situation that can only be answered through play. We have a lot on paper, all the things that you all mentioned. Mm. But is Robert Saleh a good head coach? I do not know. Mm. I don't know. Wow. He's won 11 games. Oh, he's won 11 games. The Jets have the third worst record in football with Robert Saleh. That's what's happened. Yes, he's probably needed a quarterback, but they also chose to draft Zach Wilson. It wasn't like
situation. His side of the ball, has he fixed that?
Yes. He's in charge of both sides of the ball.
Oh,
he's the head coach.
He's the head coach.
Now that he has a quarterback,
he's the head coach.
I hope it does, and I think it will. But we have to see. We have to see if he's a good head coach. We don't know. Is all of this going to click together? Is Aaron Rodgers going to click with his young receivers? How's the offensive line that was terrible last year going to hold up? Aaron Rodgers is not a mobile quarterback. He is also about timing. He's also about efficiency. Is the offensive line going to give him enough time to do what Aaron Rodgers does? Is he going to get back to even some of what we saw with the MVP season? Because we all know he didn't have the best season last year. And the other question I have is, how are they going to start the season? They have a rough schedule to start the season. They have Buffalo, Dallas, New England, which we don't think is a very talented team, but it's still a divisional matchup. That can go either way at any time. You have Kansas City, Denver, which is now a huge matchup because of all the trash talk, Philadelphia, and then the bye. If it doesn't go well through those first six games, are we going to see the new Aaron Rodgers, the cuddly guy, or are we going to see the old Aaron Rodgers that blames everybody?
What if it does
could go well, but we're talking about is it too much hype?
When they won the Super Bowl, they weren't the number one seed. They weren't number one seed at all.
I don't think they'll be the number one seed here either.
Let me finish so anything can happen. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully they win the games in the first six games, but if they don't, that's not the end of the world. Number two, all them things you just talked about, right, and you spoke on, when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, that helps that out. When a line is bad, you need a good quarterback for timing. Well, all these different things that you have about questioning from the experience, from the players, when you have a good quarterback, they help them things out. Whereas Zach Wilson last year couldn't do that.
Yeah.
He couldn't do that. So when I talk about Aaron Rodgers not being like the same MVP Aaron Rodgers, we don't even throw the ball 40 times. We don't need that. Uh-huh. For them to win, I feel like sometimes you need an A-Rod to be A-Rod. When I look at this team with the Jets, you don't have to do that. They have enough players around him on defense and offense where you don't have to win every game.
So the Green Bay Packers didn't have players? They didn't have players on defense? They didn't have players on defense? They finished 8-9?
Talk about the defense was up and down last year.
Yeah, but it's
late. As the year got on, they got better. But it wasn't just like that. And then the young boys they had over there dropping everything.
You know what?
You said it, so let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Did they not? The first game of the season.
Oh,
Christian Watson bang in the bucket. What did he do?
You know when the first time Aaron Rodgers threw the ball to
Wade Hartman?
He didn't show up until training camp. If he was invested with the young guys last year in Green Bay, maybe they performed.
What is he now?
So now he shows up. Yeah, he shows up with the Jets. He's a Swifty. He's in New York at the games. He's doing everything. He got big chains on with Sauce Gardner.
This is a good time to ask this question then. Are you surprised that Aaron Rodgers has this new approach?
Absolutely. We've never seen this before. We've never seen this guy before. The leadership guy. The guy that's selfless, giving away money, giving time and expertise to the young guys that were dropping balls in Green Bay. I'm sure they would have benefited from being around their quarterback. But now he's giving that to the Jets. He's doing all of the things that you expect your franchise quarterback to do. So I appreciate him showing up. I do. But I also recognize at 40 years old, he's susceptible to injury. I know we couldn't get through OTAs without him hurting his calf. And so what I worry about Aaron Rodgers is that he's going to be the football version of Chris Paul. It looks great, but he ain't going to be there when they need him to be there.
I mean, you do know this guy won an MVP, a couple years ago?
Hey, man, like what do you do all stuff.
Is like, that just like that does not
man,
happen?
Man, you talking like, about Aaron Rodgers like he's hey, not man, Aaron like, Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, they're going to do it. Anything Aaron Rodgers, like, man, it's not a lifetime achievement award. We're talking about the here and now.
Wow. When you're unhappy, when you're not happy in a situation that you're in,
it's like, man, like
you just don't give it your all. You just don't.
Well,
you don't.
Yeah, I don't think that Aaron Rodgers gave it his all at the end of his time in Green Bay.
No, he stopped caring.
I'm not that. The money thing is surprising. $35 million is $35 million.
And they still ain't signed Dalvin Cook. What's going on?
I'm not going to scoff at that because that's a lot of
money. What's going on?
But the rest of it doesn't actually surprise me because to me, just psychologically speaking, if you're Aaron Rodgers, why would you leave Green Bay for a new situation if you weren't going to be invested? You might as well stay in Green Bay, finish your career there, ride off into the sunset where you've always been. You know the roads. You know the people that run the cafeteria. You know the gate people. You know this. You've been here. It's comfortable to you. You know what the media is going to say. This is your space. If you weren't going to be invested, why go to New York? So I'm not completely surprised that he's doing things a little differently. I'm surprised at the level to which he's doing it. And I do think that is going to matter. Whose fault he was unhappy in Green Bay. At this point, I don't really care. I think it's partly he was intentionally cantankerous because he was upset with them. And I also think it was their fault because I think they handled the Jordan Love thing terribly. And as a petty person, I can relate. If I'm going to sit here and put my body on the line, I'm the face of this organization, I'm the quarterback, and you can't shoot me a text to let me know you're drafting another quarterback, I'm going to do whatever I want for as long as I want. I'm just not that good of a person. So I am not mad at him, and I never will be. They played him. And he reciprocated that energy. And I think that very rarely players get the opportunity to do that. So
and he never got over that.
Why he should never, he?
No, and that's why I believe going to the Jets, acting. Aaron Rodgers has always been this way. Like, he's always, to me, been selfless. And now when you do some things that I don't like, that's going out the window.
He's now, I'm going to do
me. He's always been?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. Like, hold on, wait a minute. Aaron Rodgers sat for years behind Brett Favre. He wasn't acting like this.
Wait a minute. I mean, I don't think he volunteered.
No, but selfless. So when he became a starter, he did everything that needed to be done. Now once you start to do things that I don't like and I'm trying to talk to you about it and you don't care what I'm saying, now I'm going to do what I want to do.
I just see it so differently. Like, so differently in terms of, like, one, you saying he's selfless. Like, he's selfless enough that he didn't show up to work with the young guys in Green Bay, but now
I'm not showing up because I don't like what you're doing, so I don't care what you do.
The reason why they drafted Jordan Love is because for four straight years, all of his numbers were declining. And so at 37 years of age, you're looking at your quarterback who is declining on the field of play, and you're like, hey, we got to get a quarterback. So that's why they drafted him. So now he's pouting and moping. But look, all of us position players have had to deal with someone coming in being drafted. Like, he got to get over that. He was still the franchise quarterback. He has to be above that. So now I'm glad that he goes to New York and he is being celebrated. But I certainly hope all this stuff that y'all are giving him, the praise that we're giving him because he's such a great guy, I certainly hope it pans out.
Are you surprised at his new approach, Shady?
I am surprised. I didn't think that Aaron Rodgers would be this type of guy. Like, the guy gave up $35 million. He gave it back. That was guaranteed money. Took it out of his pocket and gave it back. To know that's like, wow, he really cares. He's showing them that I'm bought in. Listen, New York Jets, I'm here for y'all. Whatever y'all need, I'm willing to do. Even like going to the games and going to OTAs, like all them things.
It's great.
You build chemistry, right? So to a point, I do understand about not going to mini camps and et cetera and like trying to have a great relationship with young players. Young dudes, they always look up to guys. I mean, when I was a young guy, I loved McNabb and I loved Michael Vick. I couldn't wait to talk to him, be around him. So now I'm a starter, right? You definitely want that type of chemistry with your players. So I love what he's doing. I do think that would have a better year. I mean, last year, like Zach Wilson, I mean, he played awful, but not even talk about that. But the part of building a chemistry, like players were celebrating Mike White.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they were
desperate for something.
So it matters. Even when Aaron Rodgers was discussing about him and coming to the Jets, all the young guys were tweeting, talking about it. They wanted that. Now that he's there, you can't tell me that they're not going to have a good year. I'm not saying Super Bowl because, I mean, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. Like, we all think that the Chiefs would probably be in the running, but if they don't make it there, it's hard to win.
Yeah, in the AFC. I can't wait to see it because on paper it all lines up. But
we feel okay about Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator. We good with that?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
we okay.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
You don't like him?
We're okay with Nathaniel Hackett.
I mean,
we saw him with Russell Wilson last year.
When I see him with A-Rod, he won an MVP.
Running that offense. Yeah.
Don't forget that.
He wasn't calling plays.
Hey, you know Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Things got intense at Cowboys training camp between Trevon Diggs and Dak Prescott. And we'll show you what went down. That's next on Speak. Don't make
Bucky, what
statement.
You talking about, Bucky?
He wasn't calling
Come
play.
On.
It's getting tense at Cowboys training camp. Dak Prescott was on a run play when a defender made contact. Kept going into the end zone. That rubbed Trevon Diggs the wrong way. And he told Dak to, quote, shut your bleep bleep up after the play.
Did I read that right?
You did, Shady. Okay, so here's the thing. I struggle answering how the answer to this question of is this trash talk something or nothing, because there's only one person on earth that could say this to me and I not respond with violence, and that would be my mother. So to me, these are really fighting words. To me, if you say this to another person, anything is on the board. Like, there's just certain things you know. If you say to somebody, You know you're prepared for anything after that, is how I feel. That being said, I know there's trash talk. I know it's hot at camp. Tempers are up. You're frustrated getting ready for the season. You know, maybe things are said that you don't necessarily mean. I don't know. But to me, saying this to the franchise quarterback is a little wild. So I want to ask you, because you guys played.
Yeah. Can I go first?
Is this, is this something or is it nothing?
I think it's something there. I mean, I don't know. I played some football, so I'll just say this. Let me set the stage. I played with Michael Vick, right? I played with Tom Brady, played with Josh Allen, played with Patrick Mahomes. Nobody on the team, coaches, trainers, will even fix their lips to say something like that to that quarterback, right? A franchise quarterback? Two things it tells me. One is they don't respect him. And two is they tired of everybody making him the face, the guy. And when we get in a tight game, he's the one that blows the game for us. Because after a while, it builds up. You know, as a ball player, man, you're going through it. Okay, next game. Okay, next play. I'm tired, bro. You keep doing the same thing. And I feel like they might not respect him the same way because I can't even think about a player telling them quarterbacks out his name, call you out your name like that. And that name right there, when you say that to a player, to a person, it's consequences from that that they don't care about. So, I don't know, man. When you talk about being a leader, we all talk about how Dak is a leader. When we talk about his qualities, his attributes, it's not like the arm strength. It's more like he's a leader, you know, that type of thing. You talk to your leader like that? I don't know.
Yeah, if someone tells me to shut my bleep up, I am for sure not acquiescing that request.
Because so in Philadelphia?
It's crazy to me. Bucky? TJ, you gotta keep it real. This is what we do around here, TJ.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts ain't dealing with this type of nonsense.
Is it something or nothing?
It happens amongst players, just not the quarterback. This is gonna go on all through. You just get tired. Diggs may wanted to get the energy up in practice. It might have been a dull practice, so he says that thinking Dak gonna really respond, which he didn't. But you just don't see this. With the quarterback, it'll be receiver, DB, linebacker, running back, linebacker, tight end, safety, whatever.
Tackle DN.
The lineman. But the quarterback, like, it's almost as if they're immune from the fights in training camp and the trash. You just don't do it. I've never seen it happen. And so now to see it happen, it's like, wow, like, really? And then I'm actually surprised that, like, 87, whoever that is, if he heard it, turn around and grab him by the feet, like, what you say?
Yep.
Yeah, like
I'm surprised that somebody didn't come
might not respect them.
And just start a fight. Because when I play, they know. You say that to me, we going to fight. And everybody that I play with, they know this. They watching the show and be like, yeah, he ain't lying. I'm going to fight you. And that's just what it is. But you just don't see, anytime you see a training camp fight, you see that little red jersey off to the back.
You ain't never going to see a quarterback
in
there.
They ain't never in there. You touch the quarterback.
And you're cut.
That's right.
Okay, so here's the thing. You know you can't. The quarterback is not going to respond. There's not a quarterback that's going to be out there and get gritty and get down. And in my estimation, I think this is a case of that new money. Because, you know, we just saw Trayvon Diggs just get that new money.
Okay.
And so with that new money, maybe he feels empowered and he wants to be respected. Maybe he's not respected in the locker room.
So I'm going to talk to you. Like I always wanted to talk to you then, huh?
Now I got my money, so now I'm going to say what it is that I want to say and whatever. But I noticed Dak didn't even hear him. Like, sometimes, you know, when you make that money, like, people are talking to you like, I don't even hear what you're saying there, Trayvon Diggs. And so maybe he had that battery pack in him, got geeked up because he came running from across the field to say whatever he said. And so I am saying that it's not a Dak problem. It might be a Trayvon Diggs problem.
But it is a Diggs problem,
the fact that he said it
to the quarterback, I just subscribe to, there's certain things that you can't say. Like, you don't, it's not a slip of the tongue.
He's had that in his heart for a while. I told you.
Trayvon Diggs is speaking out because he got his money. So what you think gonna happen now? He got his money, and we're gonna see Dak going to playoffs because they're going to playoffs. And Dak's gonna be Dak in the playoffs. Now what you think he gonna say then? If he's saying this at training camp because he got his money, what you think he gonna say when he gets to playoffs and he's throwing pick, like we see, and they lose?
But then what is he gonna say when Trayvon Diggs is playing the double agent that he's played, where he makes a play, but then he gives up two other plays? And so now, because he's talking, we've seen him. We've seen him give up plays.
I'm done asking you questions. I ask you a question, and you never answer.
You never answer. He's going to say the same thing to him.
You should be a lawyer.
I should be.
I don't know. You guys have been in camp fights.
I mean, we just saw Travis Kelce punch the little dude.
Ask him, because he won't answer my question. Ask him, has he ever seen a quarterback?
No.
Get any fights.
No, quarterbacks don't get in fights.
If you even touch a quarterback,
that's what's confusing about it because he said, let's fight.
If he had said that to anybody else, it would have been a fight.
That's right.
And that's the thing that is concerning is it a lack of respect that they have for Dak? And
it's
now I got my money, they can't do anything with me, so I'm going to say what I want to say.
But that's what I'm saying, Bucky. If you If you talk this type of trash, this isn't just like regular trash talk. So let's like, there's like regular trash talk. There's what he was saying before.
It's disrespectful.
We got you in a box. And then there's like the other type of stuff. This is like the on-site stuff. This is like the immediate reaction.
He didn't even throw a pick. Well, he was just running the ball in.
Well, he did that day. He threw a double coverage pick.
I'm just saying.
Oh, that playoff.
He didn't even throw a pick.
That's true.
And this is what he said.
I feel like this is something that the young man he's had in his heart for a while.
But why?
And he wanted to get it. I don't know why.
You do know why.
I don't know why.
You do know why.
I don't know why Trayvon Diggs had this.
Okay, I get it better.
I don't see anybody else out there running around calling him a B.A. I don't see my man who's right beside him calling him that. I just see Diggs over there calling him.
The thing is, it's like a respect thing. Like, certain players, I can never disrespect because I respect them that much. They earn that. When I look at that, I mean, do you respect him? They say he's good. They say he's a leader.
But also,
when I watch that, I don't see that.
If this was Patrick Mahomes, this was the Chiefs camp, and a defender says that to Patrick Mahomes, what do you think happens in the camp?
Let me answer. It's going to be a brawl.
Practice.
And it ain't going to be Travis Kelce throwing no punch. It ain't going to be him. It's going to be all them linemen. They're going to be in there going, you said what? They're going to go crazy.
I mean, like, look how far we're in the corner.
Man.
We're in the corner of the zone.
Okay.
Like, we're away from everybody.
But wouldn't Patrick also react in that moment? Like, even if he's not going to fight, wouldn't he vocally react?
Knowing Pat, Pat will respond, right? He wanted this dude what Dak did, just trot off like nothing happened. He probably would say something. But let's use another guy, because I think Pat would say something.
What about Josh?
Oh, my God. That's what I want to talk about. Josh Allen, let one of them boys.
What's Josh going to do?
He going to punch him in his face. Yes, he is, and I witnessed it. Josh ain't nothing to play with. He, first of all, he about 6'5", 245, and he run like a running back, fullback, tight end. He gonna grab by the neck, and we going to the ground. And then once they done, we gonna figure what happened. He gonna say, hey, watch your mouth. And it's the quarterback.
And I can't even say Tom Brady, because I cannot even imagine something.
Don't let Tom Ace fool you now. Tom gangster too. I watched Tom tell...
Don't even say the name, whoever it was.
Nah,
it was Tyrann Matthews.
I'm doing my job.
All right.
Tyrann Matthews?
And
he said, what? F you. Yeah, check that. F you. I was like, oh, Thomas Gangster. That's the truth.
I mean, Pat, we were watching quarterback. Pat Mahomes got a Max Crosby's face last year. I don't know.
But he won't. The dude, number 4 for the Cowboys? Not in his heart to do that.
I don't know about
Trayvon, you know what, bro? I forgive you. You didn't mean that. I know. It's hot out here. It's camp. I forgive you, bro. That's what he said.
They're in Oxnard. It ain't that hot out there.
Man.
It ain't that hot.
I mean, it's not that far from here. Like, it's warm. But I don't know. Listen, like I said, it's my mom is the only one. So the rest of the universe has been warmed. It's not going to be. I'm not reacting like that. Coming up, the Bills are title contenders, but Josh Allen, speaking of Josh,
my boy,
doesn't want his team to focus on that right now. Is it Super Bowl or bust in Buffalo?
All right, that's right.
Next on Speak.
I gotta see Josh wrestle. He ain't going for that.
Nathaniel Hackett has been in the news a lot lately. Now we're hearing that the Jets offensive coordinator has a very interesting approach with his players, including wide receiver Alan Lazard. Speak up, Alan.
He gets a room of grown men to make animal noises. It's pertaining to the play, whether it's a name, whether it's a whale, a kangaroo, a pony, a shark. You'd have to sit in the meetings to hear. But he's the only person that can get grown men to do something like that.
I don't know, y'all. This reeks a little bit of trolling. You think Nathaniel Hackett is in the offensive meetings having them make animal sounds?
I hope not. If you got to make animal sounds to learn offense, something wrong.
That's a problem.
I hope not. I mean, I hope he was just trolling, really. But if they're really doing
it. You think Lazard is up there making up a story? Because I think he's making it up. You expect me, I'm grown, all right? I'm a professional. I'm going to be sitting in a room. We have a meeting, and I'm trying to get y'all to remember what we're doing in this block.
I will associate
with a kangaroo sound. What does a kangaroo even sound like?
Joy, guys do get tired in those meetings. They get tired. And so if you see guys getting sleepy, maybe you will do some dumb things of that nature.
See, TJ.
But I'm not doing that. I know the offense.
Animal sounds because they're nodding off.
We just being
they're
silly
nodding
now?
Off in the meeting.
Yeah, play some music, something.
See, this is what Sean Payton was talking about. See, this bull, that right there, that's why they was losing. They barking and moving. That's why they can't win. That's what Sean Payton was talking about right there.
I don't even know. What does that have to do with the play?
What are you
saying? I don't understand that.
I don't know. Like.
What does a shark sound like?
No one knows.
Splashing water, I guess.
Imagine you ask the question and you hear woof, you're like,
how many animal sounds do we know outside of a dog, a cat?
He said a whale.
What?
What's your best whale?
A pony.
A kangaroo?
An elephant. Like what?
A pony, a shark.
A roar of a lion? Like what?
I will fail this test.
I don't know.
I'm going chomp, chomp. Anyway, staying in the AFC East, Mac Jones has been the Patriots starter his first two seasons in the league. But when asked if there is an open competition for the starting job, Bill Belichick would not commit to Jones, saying, quote, everybody is out here competing.
This guy.
You know what I like to say? If you got more than one quarterback, you don't have a quarterback. But, Bucky, are the Patriots in trouble this season?
Yeah, the Patriots are in trouble, and they're in trouble because the greatest coach of all time is in trouble. He is in trouble because he is on the hot seat, and it's an uncomfortable position to be when you're a guy as decorated as Bill Belichick. And so sometimes when you're in trouble like that, you may make rash decisions trying to get it. The pressure makes you do things that are out of your character. So now he's looking at Mac Jones trying to figure out, how can I put the best quarterback on the field to give me a chance? Because, look, it hasn't looked great. You guys are going to talk about his record and how he's been without Tom. And I'll be honest, I've been the biggest Bill Belichick defender here. I've talked about him and how he made Tom Brady a system player, yada, yada, yada. But he has to get it done now. If he doesn't get it done now, somebody else will be standing in front of the podium for the Patriots. And that pains me. That saddens me.
We don't even talk about the Patriots anymore. It was a foregone conclusion that they were going to be in the playoffs and competing for a Super Bowl for like 2 decades. And we don't even consider them competitive within their own division. Forget the AFC. So, they're in trouble. It doesn't even look like they're playing in the modern NFL at this point. And to be in camp with the Patriots and have Bill Belichick non-committal to a starting quarterback is an incredible fall from grace. We talked earlier about pride with Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, this is an organization that was the dynasty.
So they said?
This was 2 decades of dominance, and now you don't know who the franchise quarterback is. And my issue with the Patriots is this. Because I think Bill Belichick is one of the greatest coaches of all time. I do. But one of the greatest coaches of all time. But you also have a window when your great leaves you, right? When your Hall of Fame quarterback leaves you, or the greatest of all time leaves you, I'll give you a little window. You know, you got to adjust. You got to figure some things out. But that window is closed. That window is closed. Ben Roethlisberger left the Steelers. We feel like the Steelers are destitute. No. No. The Bucks went out and got someone. The Saints went out and got someone. Like, you have to go on. The league goes on. So for you to have the entire building fall apart because you weren't planning or you can't adjust without Tom Brady, I just feel like it's been too many years now. Tom Brady's out the league, and you still can't even compete in your own division.
It's funny. Like, soon Tom leaves, they instantly go to the bottom of the division, right? Like, let's think about it. They're the bottom of the division. And at one point in time, they were like the greatest team and all that. Soon, one player leaves, it's a whole different story. But that's not the question right now, right? The question was, is he in trouble? I'm going to say yes. I think yes, because Bill Belichick is there. That's a big issue right there. And when I look at this team, I don't see anybody getting better. I don't see nobody developing more talent. They really don't draft well, right? All the players they got there that's pretty good, they had to pay to get their free agency. Just talking about it. So when I watched this team, and the division got better, a lot better. You already was a bad team in a division. Now the division got better, and you didn't get better. They didn't get better. See, the problem with Belichick, and I think people, he fools people, right? He does these type of things. Is Mac Jones your quarterback? I mean, we're all out here competing. And that's it. Wow, he's just so intelligent. No. As a player, I want to know who my quarterback is.
Yeah.
You draft this dude in the first round, right? And his first year as rookie, they talked about how he's going to be the future. And he was looking like it. When you kill a kid's confidence, that's all he has. A young kid in this game, especially a quarterback. And that's all Belichick does. He's killing these young guys' talent. Or not talent, their confidence. So when you ask me, are they in trouble? Yes. And they're not going to be in trouble until he's gone.
Oh, we got to get him out?
Yeah.
So we got to get him out the paint.
His time is done. Belichick time is done. His time is done.
Patriots in big trouble. And you said earlier, oh, he made Tom Brady the system quarterback. That's great because if you made Brady, if he made Brady, make another meet in.
Ooh.
Jay-Z said that.
Make another
meet. Hove said that.
Make another meet. If you made me. Now, you speak of Mac Jones, it's like, how do you think Mac Jones feels when he hears that interview? Is he your, he's on it. How do you think that makes him feel?
Tell him feel.
So now you walk into the game, you're not going to play free. You're going to play nervous because you know your coach is leaving you. And Bill Belichick, I'm not going to take nothing away from him.
I am.
He's a hell of a coach. But when Tom Brady is not your quarterback, were average. Now you're below average. And so
he can't
continue to treat people the way he's always treated people. He got away with it.
Yep.
Because Brady covered up how he treats people. Brady covered that up because they won. But he's still acting the same way. You can't. These young guys that are coming up. Think about this. You coach high school football. Think about this. Mm-hmm. The best players, they get everybody kisses their butt growing up because you want them on your 7-7 team. You want to recruit them. They got in. Then they get to the league. And you get Bill Belichick, they not used to this. It's not how we played growing up. Coach talk to you crazy and you can deal with it. They all get their butts kissed coming up. And now Belichick is saying this? Mac Jones is going, man, he can't wait till Belichick get up out of there. He don't want Belichick as his coach. They in trouble because of the way he treats people.
That sounds like you're having like flashbacks and memories from the coaches that you hated.
But can you play the game?
If anything, this reminds me of Greg Popovich in San Antonio, right? So I don't hear you guys talking about Greg Popovich got to go. Popovich lost Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. It's the same thing.
He lost.
Great coaches. But every great coach has to have great players.
Can I ask you a question?
You got to have great players.
Can I ask you a question, right? It's certain players, certain coaches that you drop them anywhere, they're going to make a difference, right? Andy Reid, I don't got to go on him. You know what's up with Andy Reid.
He coached me. I got him.
Sean McVay. You drop him somewhere.
Wait a minute, they were bad last year.
Yeah, injuries.
They were bad last year.
They got hold on. He been to what, 2 Super Bowls? Mm-hmm. Don't do that with him.
Injuries. Injuries.
Please don't do that with him, please.
He didn't even have his quarterback. You know that, Bucky.
The record is the record.
There's certain coaches that you could drop and they're gonna instantly be better. And it might be small, but it's going to gradually get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Look at Mike Tomlin.
But when I look at Belichick, I don't see that. Like, for example, like Mac Jones. He should be a lot better than what he is. But when you play with a kid's confidence, is he starting? Is he not starting? Is he playing? Is he not playing?
We didn't even have an offensive coordinator.
Come on. Then you make your defensive coordinator the offensive coordinator?
Come on, man.
That was genius.
I do think that Bill Belichick is, he's like dial-up trying to compete with SpaceX. Like, what his system and all the things that they're talking about worked at a certain time in the NFL. But the NFL is different now. It's modernized now.
The way he treats people, you can't do that anymore.
We coaching him hard. Hard coaching.
I don't even know if it's about, look.
Hard coaching.
Bucky, the problem is we have evidence of other teams being able to move on from their franchise guy.
Bucky.
Mike Tomlin. You've got all these examples throughout the league of their Hall of Fame guy retiring and them able to reboot the organization.
When we played,
yes.
I remember my first training camp. I'll never forget this. Double day. I got up the fourth day. I couldn't even walk. And I knew I was going to have to run in 25, 30 minutes. I couldn't even walk.
It was good for you.
They don't do that anymore.
I know.
You know why? Because it was dumb.
It was good for you.
It was dumb.
It was good for you.
You go to training camp, full tank of gas. You leave training camp on a half a tank. You never get back to a full tank, ever.
But you're better for it.
And they changed.
Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin was my coach in Jacksonville. We had to do all that silly stuff, helmet strapped on, socks all up, had to concentration on all those things.
If that's all still good, why are the Patriots so bad?
The players.
Who is bringing in the players?
He has to do a better job. The players.
He's always brought in the players.
Is the one that brings in the players.
What makes a guy like Andy Reid so great? Guy like Sean McVay, such a great coach. It's X's and O's, right? And it's some players.
Relating.
But it's how you can relate to the players. When I was with Andy Reid, when I was a rookie, 2009, he was way different. He was still tough, but the way he always could get the best out of us. We could relate to that. Then I see him, it's 2019. He was way different because he's adapting to the game. That's something that Belichick can't do. And I think he's stuck on all the success he had in the past, and that's the way you should do it. And it's not because he don't understand that. Listen, it's not you, my guy. It's number 12. He's gone, and you're the same.
But 12 ain't coming back through that door.
And that's why the record's going to be like that. That's why until he's gone, it's going to be the same thing. Lose, 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 lose. Last in the division. Soon you make it to the playoffs. You get smoked. You look, in 19 years, what, 19 years, they went 18. He went to the playoffs 18 times with Tom Brady. The 10 years that he had without Tom, or was it, no. Look at my notes.
But wait, but Kim.
Oh, yeah. The 10 seasons without Tom Brady, they didn't play. Then he went two playoff appearances.
Okay, so here's the thing, though.
You get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying.
Come on.
I also remember when Tom Brady came in as a sixth-round pick.
Right.
As a sixth-round pick, he removed Drew Bledsoe to put Tom Brady in there. Okay. The first three Super Bowls that they won with the defense, the running game leading the way, him playing
as a compliment. What about the rest of them?
When they turned it over to Tom Brady, they were doing all of this stuff. They went for a long stretch where they didn't win it. Now, at the end, I mean, look, he's 20 years in the game. The game is slow motion. Hey, he should be able to win because the game is slow motion.
Hold on. So back to the defense, because they say how great a defense coach he is. Them championships they won with the defense, all them Hall of Fame players, I mean, God.
There's not.
We can toast them guys.
There's not a Hall of Fame coach without Hall of Fame players.
You're trying to have it both ways.
All of that works because you had the greatest player of all time in the building, and you did get him in the sixth round.
And you can treat people like they don't matter.
But to TJ's point, if it's that easy, make another me. Make another Tom Brady.
Bad before Brady, bad after Brady.
You need another Tom Brady.
Those are the stats.
Coming up, which NFL teams are people sleeping on and could use a little more attention? You know, the Jets are getting a lot of hype, but what about the Bucks or the Browns or the Lions? That's next on Speak.
I know one thing, Joy. We are not sleeping on the Patriots.
Oh, I got to tell you.
We all know the Chiefs and Eagles are in the group of teams that are expected to do big things this season. But what about some of the other teams, like the Browns and the Lions? Mike Evans said the Bucs are not rebuilding this year, adding, quote, "We are just trying to win right now." So, shady.
On purse? Okay.
I think transition. I happen to know what your answer is. So, which NFL team are people sleeping on?
I'm going to say the Bucs, right? Mike said it first. I'm going to say the Bucks. I had a chance to talk to Todd Bowles, a good friend of mine. You know, I was with him in Philadelphia, and then when I played with the Bucks, so I said, why would you go out there and get Baker Mayfield? Like, what were you thinking? And he said, when I look at my team, on defense, we're a solid defense. We didn't play well at times, but we're a solid defense. You know the guys that's on our team on defense. He said, on offense, we're a solid offense. We got some veteran guys. Only thing we need is a solid quarterback. I think last year the issue was the running game and the issue was the offensive linemen, right? A lot of injuries. So when I look at this team, he's right. Baker Mayfield, the money part. To go out there and get a top-tier quarterback, you got to pay for that. And he said, I don't want to go out there and pay all that money for that quarterback because we don't really need that type of quarterback. We have the players in the room. And he's right. I think we forget, man, how good a team really is when they have a loss or two, when they have three, four losses, right? Seasons. And when you look at the Bucs, they're a solid team. If you get a guy like Baker Mayfield, which, I mean, I don't feel, like, great about him, but to go in there and manage a team, run the ball well, right, make the efficient throws, right?
Nothing, he can win games.
Nothing hard, just to win games. The same thing he did when it was the playoffs in Cleveland. And I'm like, you know what? I can see that because in that division, it's not a hard division. Panthers, Saints, you got the Bucs, and who's the last one?
Falcons.
And the Falcons. That ain't a hard division at all. So when he said that, I said, okay, yeah, Todd Bowles, you're right. I got the Bucs winning that division.
Well, I'm gonna say in the division, but I hear all you're saying. I just think I'm going to go with the Panthers as a team that we're not paying a lot of attention to. And they have the number one overall pick in Bryce Young. They brought in Frank Reich. I think he's a good coach. They've got Brian Burns and Miles Sanders. I think they have some talent on the team. And if Bryce Young is what he was billed to be in college, I don't think they're going to make some run through the playoffs. But it's a very winnable division, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And if he can step in as a rookie and have a nice rookie season, I think they have enough talent there to make some noise.
I'm going to go to the Cleveland Browns. I think the Cleveland Browns are the deal. And the reason they're the deal, when you look at their roster from top to bottom, they don't have a glaring weakness. That division is tough. Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, we know how they get down. We know how bruising the division is. But
You got two of the best pass rushers maybe in football, and this is Darius Smith and Myles Garrett in terms of a tandem. You have Deshaun Watson, who has played as a top five quarterback before. I think now that all that stuff is behind him, look, he doesn't have to kind of be the center of attention. I think he settles in. Year two under Kevin Stefanski, we will see a better version of the Cleveland Browns. And that is good enough to get them on a deep run.
Before I say what I'm going to say, it's my daughter's birthday today. Happy birthday, baby.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. All right.
Now, I'm going to stay in the division with you two. I'm going to Saints. Derek Carr, one of four quarterbacks to have four 4,000-yard seasons passing in the last five seasons. Defense, stout. They're good every year. They got a good defense.
That's true.
You got Chris Olave. And if Michael Thomas can come back healthy, he just, the injuries the last few years. And Alvin Kamara. Now, the Kamara thing scares me because you don't know if he's going to get suspended for the incident he had. But people forget how good of a quarterback Derek Carr was with the Raiders. He's a really good quarterback. And that division is wide open.
Yeah.
The Panthers have a rookie who I believe is going to be great.
Yeah.
But he will be a rookie. The Falcons and Desmond Ridder. The Bucks, I assume it's going to be Baker or Kyle Trask.
Baker.
Right now, it's not even close that Carr is the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah.
And it's not a close second. And so when I look at it, not many people are high on the Saints. But if they had a good quarterback last year, they get into the playoffs. They have that this year. They'll get into the playoffs and do damage.
They also have the easiest schedule this season. I think we're kind of brushing over the Saints because obviously, like, Sean Payton is not there anymore, mm-hmm. and we don't know what they're really going to look like. But I'm a Carr fan, and he's also playing with chip on his shoulder this year. So I think that and this without question, like you said, that he's the best quarterback in that division. But I'm also with you on the Browns. I have to see what Deshaun Watson is, but it's a whole full off season. We knew last year what it was going to be when he came back. Like, yeah. It wasn't, nobody had any expectations. You have that much time off from football. You're coming back in the middle of the season. It's a tough division to begin with.
Oof.
This year, if they can stay on the rails, I mean, it is still the Browns. So, you know, they seem to find a way to mess it up. But I do think a whole offseason with Deshaun there without everything that's going on and with Stefanski, because Stefanski's a coach of the year.
Yeah, he's been there.
And they have a lot of offensive weapons as well.
They do, because they have Nick Chubb, so they can run the football. They added some weapons on the outside. Eli Moore coming over from the Jets gives them another weapon opposite Amari Cooper. They have a perfect built offense.
I got to play the Bengals twice.
Game, all
but you know what, though? But, like, they're always like that, though. I hate to kill your pick, but the Browns are always talented.
You like killing my
son. No. I'm being serious, though. The Browns are always good. They always have talent.
Yeah.
They always do.
And then they find a way to bounce.
But Jim Schwartz comes over.
But the Bucks.
I like him.
Why Jim I like Schwartz the Bucks, though, is because we've seen them at their highs, right? We've seen them at their highs. They got talent, right? Even when Winston was throwing 30 for 30, 30 picks, 30 touchdowns, they were still a solid, talented team. So if you add a guy like Baker Mayfield, hey, look, be safe with the ball. We don't need you to go out there and be the first pick overall.
Can he do that, though?
His
personality to be safe, that ain't him.
He's done it with his team. He's done with the Browns. When he went to the playoffs, was it because he was doing some great passes? He was 4,000 to 5,000 yards? No. We ran the ball. We played solid defense, and we were conservative.
Yeah, if he stays within the rails.
Come on. But you had better talent with the Bucs. You got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans.
Coming
he
up.
He was the first pick. He's trying to get paid in Tampa.
He knows
well, his talent.
He knows his talent.
How many kids would it take to tackle Derrick Henry? Yes, you heard. That's next.
How many kids would it take to tackle me? Don't get it messed up.
That too.
I'll take off the blazer. You know what I mean? Put the helmet back on.
Don't respond.
Derrick Henry is arguably the hardest player to take down in the NFL. And that's by adults. So, Mike Vrabel was asked how many five-year-olds would it take to tackle the Titans star. Let's take a listen.
Let's hear this. I don't even know if they could. Let's say he's got a 10-yard wide space. It would probably take 35. You want to try it?
Oh, five-year-olds.
Five-year-olds. How many five-year-olds? I said 30. 35-year-olds.
That's a lot.
I mean, look, like, you gotta consider he's running. Like, he's running downhill, so he's going to mow through a good line.
Ooh, Joy, this is going to happen.
They got to get his ankles.
This is what's going to happen. He going to run through the first however many, and the rest gonna be scared. So none.
No. You gotta envision these are all committed 5-year-olds. They are being motivated by candy.
Does he have a running start?
It gotta at least be.
Does he have a running start?
200 5-year-olds.
He's gonna make it. You know when you make an example out of one or two, the rest get scared.
No, they're not scared. These 5-year-olds got heart.
Oh,
you imagine they got heart. How many, Shady?
No. How many you say? Zero?
About 200.
He said 200.
They ain't doing
I
it.
Said 30.
200. That's too much. Come on. I say 50. 50 little 5-year-olds. I'll say about there. It takes a full classroom.
If they not
a full
committed,
class, and they got to get them.
It's not enough.
How many should
he gonna punish them kids?
Oh, they won't touch me.
Sorry, about 300 with you.
So 400? We're somewhere between 230.